The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul had a discussion, or in his letter, that is, he didn't really talk to them, but he wrote them a letter because of something they did on Passover evening. And so he reminded them about the rituals that should be partaken of that night. And then he wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 27, and he said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the blood in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of Christ." Now, in the unworthy manner, what that means, is if we were to put it in a more modern terms of English, it would say, without respect, carelessly, negligently, irreverently. So, if you drink this cup of the Lord irreverently, you will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in irreverently, negligently, carelessly, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then he goes on and says what happened because of certain things. Because some of the church members did these things. Well, there's a lot to examination, and that's not exactly what I'm going to go into today. But what I would like to draw from this is certain frames of mind that we can think about as we go into Passover season, and as we prepare ourselves for the examining of ourselves. And I guess a real simple way to help you to remember this is think about beginnings. Because God gives us many beginnings to put in mind. For example, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, if you turn there, Genesis 1, 26. He says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you can see, mankind exists because God created us. And he created us to look like God, to look like himself, in his image and in his likeness. So there's a beginning that we can think about. Another beginning, or another point to go to start from as well, is turn to Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve were seduced by the serpent, God looks at the serpent and says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So this is the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. specific prophecy that we can rely on. So God made a promise to mankind that his fate was not sealed, that he had another plan. So we have a beginning. Then after many years, he selected a man called Abraham, and then Isaac and Jacob, and from there built a family. And that family went into captivity in Egypt. So turn to Exodus 13. In Exodus 13, in verse 3, and this is after they were brought out of Egypt, out of that captivity. And Moses said to the people, in Exodus 13, verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, I am brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Then he says again in verse 9, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that I am's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, I am brought you out of Egypt. You could say eternal. Verse 14. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, I am brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So you see, God started another beginning. He started a beginning with the house of Israel. As they were beginning to come, as he saved them from a physical slavery and started setting them up to be a nation, a beginning. And then as he set up the nation, both in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments are stated, which is the heart of God's way of life. He tells them from the beginning, I, the Eternal, your God, or in this, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have, okay. And then in Deuteronomy 5, 6, he says, I, Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you shall have no gods before me. He repeated it again. And he was telling them, this is how we have a beginning. This is how we have a relationship. This is how you will serve me and not serve me in a disrespectful manner. And then again in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12, he talks about the Sabbath day. And he says, you shall keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as I am your God commanded you. This is Moses telling them what happened. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of I am your God. In it you shall do no work. And then he goes on to list who is supposed to keep the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is to be kept. And then in verse 5 he says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and I am your God, brought you out from there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, I am your God, commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So every week when we keep the Sabbath, we're constantly reminded of the beginning, where we were, where the house of Israel was, and where we were as Christians, called by God the Father, given His Holy Spirit, accepting Jesus Christ as our Passover, which again, this law was given during the time when Israel was being set up as a nation, right after Passover, where he gave them physical salvation, God is promising us spiritual salvation. And all starting from that Genesis 3:15, and if you even want to go back before that, he had the plan starting in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. He was just laying it out for us, what his plan was for us, and why we should be looking to the beginning and not forgetting the beginnings. In Hebrews 12, Paul talks to us about many things in Hebrews, the analogies that most of us would not get without his being able to explain it for us. Hebrews 12, verse 9, and he talks about how God works with us. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So God is our Father. He's showing us that he will take care of us. Then if you go back to verse 5 in Hebrews 12, and it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. God handles that rebuking and chastening and scourging in a variety of different ways in all of us. But God does work with us, and he wants us to learn. He wants us to remember and look to the beginnings, to that salvation that he offers us, that salvation that is there. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So if we don't want chastening, then we can't be sons. And if we reject the chastening, we can't be sons. In other words, we don't want God's salvation. So God says, look to the beginnings. Look to where you started. Grow from where you started, but look to the beginnings. In fact, when you look to the beginnings and you see how man, the history of man itself, you can see that man rejected God time and time again. In Genesis 6:5, which was before the flood, and the Lord saw, come on, then the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were on evil continually. So in other words, where are your thoughts? Do you look to the beginning of your thoughts? See, man at this point in time became so corrupt, there was nothing that he was thinking that where he wasn't going to take advantage of another man. And there would be plenty of disaster and plenty of heartache. And man suffered plenty of heartache at that time. Again, it was so bad. Noah was the only one saved. Noah and his family were the only ones saved going forward, starting a whole new world. Then David talked to his son Solomon as he turned the reins of his kingdom over to Solomon. And he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know that God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So, again, he's saying, look to the beginnings, look at your heart. Know what your heart is. God will work with your heart. God will help straighten your heart out. Because as God says later, as God says elsewhere in the Bible, the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? So none of us have perfect hearts, but we can seek God, and He will work with them. He will chasten us to straighten out our hearts. Look to the beginning, because that's where the salvation is. He also talks more about his thoughts, because the thoughts come from the heart. In Isaiah 55:8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's, again, what the commandments is for, the statutes and judgments. That's why God put His word together for us, so that we could learn to think like Him, so that our thoughts wouldn't go the way of normal man. Look to the beginnings. Where is your salvation? When Christ was on the earth, He had various discussions with many of the religious leaders in His time. And as religious people, we all tend to think we're religious and we're righteous and we're doing things the right way. And, you know, we keep the Sabbath. We distinguish the difference between clean and unclean meats and whatever else. But sometimes we forget the most important thing. In Matthew 15:19, He said, "For out of your heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." In Mark 7:20, He said a similar thing, and He said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed all evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." In our examination, we need to look at these things within ourselves and not just say, "Well, we keep the Sabbath and so I'm good," because Pharisees kept the Sabbath, or at least they thought they did. But yet they were willing to condemn Christ for healing and doing good on the Sabbath. Again, look to your beginnings, what through the salvation that God offers us. Then it says in Hebrews 4:2, and it talks about God's word. It gives us Hebrews 4:12. It talks about God's word and what it does. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Look to the beginnings. God's word has the food and meat that we have. Jesus is the bread of life, and we need to use it. In Philippians 1:20, starting in 21:27, it says, Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Do we have the gospel in us? Is that important? "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is proof to them of perdition, when we come before our adversaries and we're scared of possibly the things that they have to deal with us or their retribution, are we scared? Because if we're scared, then that's just proof that how we're living is not a good way of life. So we shouldn't be scared. But to you, it's a way of salvation, and that is from God. So God wants you to be sure in how you live. In Colossians 1:12, Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Paul is again saying, in one form or another, is look to the beginning. Look what Christ has done for us. Look at the sacrifice that you have accepted for you. And think of the mighty sacrifice that Jesus Christ went through when he lived on this earth. The greatest sacrifice of all time, the greatest sacrifice that anyone can have, and he was our example. And without him, we could not have that salvation. Paul also writes, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting," in Colossians 2 verse 11, start again, Colossians 2 verse 11, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." The things that God has done for us, the things that God has promised us, the things that God has made available to his people, the things that he's done. From the beginning, he has done this. And yet, he still reminds us about the beginnings. For though we, in 2 Corinthians verses 10, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, I was thinking it was one right after the other, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." That serpent likes to play with us. And men like to play with us from the things that they've learned from the serpent. Though we don't know these things sometimes, or they don't know these things sometimes. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ." Those thoughts that brought man down and will bring man down in the future. Are we bringing our thoughts into the captivity of Jesus Christ? Or are we losing the thought war? Verse 6. Continuing on, verse 6. "And being ready to punish all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. From another from the Good News Bible, it translates that verse as, "And after you have proved your complete loyalty, we will be ready to punish any act of disloyalty." In other words, when we find something wrong, we're willing to change it. Go from disobedience to obedience. Looking to the salvation of God, our beginnings, and remembering where God has brought us. In Philippians 3:20, in Philippians, Paul writes, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Yes, our citizenship is in heaven. The way we live now is here on earth. But Jesus Christ, through his salvation, will transform us at a future time. And then Paul writes a little earlier in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ," Christ Jesus, "who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of man." Can you imagine being God, having all power, and then divesting yourself of all that to become like a man and to suffer? Well, that's what our King did. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those in earth and in those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God has set out from the beginning his plan of salvation for mankind. It's not something that came haphazardly. It's not something that he didn't have set up from the beginning. It's something that he wants us to remember. And he also wants us to remember why we shouldn't partake of the Passover unworthily, negligently, or irreverently, because of all the things that he's done. Because even though he wants us to look to the beginnings, because the beginnings is where it started, he also wants us to look to the end, because the end is where he's looking forward to being with us and starting a new beginning.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.